Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's get into the Word, see what the Lord has for us this morning. John chapter 11. If you've got your phones, your iPads, your Bibles, you don't see very many Bibles anymore. Isn't that amazing? And we'll have it on the screen for us. All right. And again, Garen and Jennifer, we are, this whole body loves you, and I know you know that, but we are with you and standing with you guys and all the decisions, and just know that the Lord is, He's going to download in your spirit what you need to do, when you need to do it. So you just be at peace, and I know you are. John 11, beginning with verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. The title of my message this morning is, It's Not Over Till God Says It's Over. Amen. I want you to understand something with me at the very outset of this message this morning, and that is, the devil loves to see people hurting. He hates God, and since he can't get to God, he goes after us who are God's children and who are in the family of God. He thrives on them feeling desperate and hopeless. He thrives on our pain, our fears, our confusion, and frustrations. But watch this. God will take the worst that the devil can muster up, and he will make it a doorway into the greatest glory that you have ever seen. Amen. And I'm going to say some things here today that you might have to just think about. And let me start by saying, the battles and the struggles and the warfare that you see today and experience in the world today, it's not really about us fighting the devil. It's really about two powers fighting it out. And I don't even like to give the devil the status of a power. But he is a supernatural being, and he is the ruler of all the dark host, as God then is the ruler of all the forces of heaven. So everything then comes down to this. It's ultimately about worship. The battle is over the heart and the souls of men and women, and who will you worship and who will you serve? Because the truth is this, you will serve whoever you worship. God wants to be worshiped intentionally, not by mistake, not by just casually, but intentionally He wants our worship, acknowledging Him and honoring Him as our Supreme King and serving Him out of a heart of love. We have to remember the Bible says He is a jealous God. Satan, on the other hand, does not demand or require that same kind of love and devotion and intentionality in your worship or your service. But listen, it's fear and doubt and worry and confusion and resentment and criticism and hate and jealousy and bitterness and, yes, hopelessness. All of these are looked at and received by Him as worship. So the devil then will create conditions and he will create circumstances and problems and hardships and sickness and loss in order to get your attention and your affection away from him, from God. And almost any reaction that you have outside of intentionally worshiping and glorifying and magnifying God, watch this now, the devil will steal it for himself and identify it as worship to him. So again, the devil will create circumstances to produce feelings of negativity, such as fear and frustration and confusion and ultimately hopelessness and despair. And he will take that to himself as worship. So here we go. Let's get into this message this morning. Have you ever looked at a situation that had, well, it's hopeless, or there's nothing else we can do, written all over it? Or it had, it's finished, it's done. The end, might as well give up, written all over it. I think if we'll be honest about it, we've all been there at least once or more in our lifetime. When we look at this story this morning in John 11 in the Bible, we see the end, we see hopelessness, terminal, forget it, written all over it. Mary and Martha watched their brother Lazarus as he became sick, and they watched as the life drained from his body. And as the sickness worsened, he became weaker and weaker. Their hope then began to slip away. But they had one last hope, Brother Tony. We must send for Jesus, because Jesus can heal him. Jesus can stop this plague of death. So they sent for him. And we read where Jesus did not stop everything he was doing and immediately come to them. Let's be honest, we have all been in that same situation, and some are there right now. You've been praying and praying and believing for a change, and all that has happened is it seems, or not just that it seems, in fact, it has gotten worse. In other words, Jesus has not showed up. He has not come through for you in your situation. Now, I admit this is where the story causes some confusion. Jesus has gotten the message, Brandon. So now he knows his friend Lazarus is terminally ill. Jesus knows that all of their hopes are on him coming before Lazarus dies, and he will heal him. But we find then where Jesus waits deliberately until he knows Lazarus has died. And then he says to his disciples, well, our friend Lazarus is asleep. I must go and wake him up. Personally, I think we could rightly assume that in Jesus' humanity, he wanted to rush to Lazarus the moment he heard that he was sick, because this really was his friend, and he loved him, and he loved Lazarus' sisters. But Jesus said of himself, I only speak what I hear my Father speak, and I'll only do what I see my Father do. So now we can understand that Jesus' reluctance to rush to Lazarus' side came from his acting then in obedience and in harmony with the Father's will. Again, I personally believe that it was very hard on Jesus' humanity to not drop everything that he was doing and run to the aid of his dear friend Lazarus. So why the delay? Here it is. The delay was for the greater glory. If Jesus would have rushed to Lazarus and kept him from dying, so many of the unbelieving Jews would have said, well, he wasn't really that sick. He just recovered. And it was just coincidental that Jesus prayed for him before his recovery. Now, here is something we rarely recognize. When we are crying out for a miracle, a healing, a breakthrough, a restoration, or a deliverance, our attention and our intensity and our focus are all centered upon that particular need. And we assume then that since that is what has our full attention, that must be where God is focusing His attention too. Understand with me that of course God cares about our needs, yours and mine. Of course God feels our pain and our sorrow, and He does see the agony that we experience. But what we must recognize is that God, for lack of a better word, is a multitasker. He's everywhere, He's all-powerful, and He's all-knowing. You and I want His full attention on meeting our need. Have you ever heard where the pilot then came over the speaker while you're in flight and says, "Hold on tight, we're going to hit some turbulence here. He has us put on our seat belts." Well, here it is. Hold on tight, we're going to hit some turbulence this morning, okay? God's ultimate desire is to, watch this now, to grow us up, number one, to reveal Himself more fully to us, to mature our faith, and ultimately for Him to get the glory, to be glorified. And in the midst of all of that, healing does come. We think God then is completely occupied with meeting our need because that's what we want. But God is even more committed to growing our faith and our confidence in Him. Why? Because He sees the down the road. He sees the overall picture. Jesus could have arrived before Lazarus died and healed him. Well, why didn't He? Because God was going for a greater glory. You see, yeah, the greater glory is Lazarus being raised from the dead. That's true. But Jesus was after, watch this, resurrection faith. Mary and Martha both had, well, we believe you can heal him kind of faith. But when Lazarus died, guess what? So did their faith. Jesus deliberately waited for 2 days. And now we take a look into the spiritual realm and get a glimpse of what is happening when you pray and you don't see any change. And sometimes it feels like God isn't even listening. But I want you to know He absolutely does hear us, Sister Jean, when we pray. Jesus waited for Lazarus to die in order to solicit, watch this, a dead-raising faith in Mary and Martha. When Lazarus died, they turned the switch of faith off. They said, "That's it. It's over. It's finished. I don't believe anymore." And they rolled the stone over the door. That stone was not just a boulder blocking the door to Lazarus' tomb. That stone was a gravestone that said, "Here lies the faith of Mary and Martha." That stone said, "Well, we believed up to this point, but our faith ended right here." You may be at that point right now. You may be at the very act of rolling the stone across the door and calling it done. But hold on. Tell your neighbor, just hold on. When Jesus came, they did not rush to meet Him with passionate living faith. They met Him with frustration. They met Him with disappointment and even some resentment towards Him. In fact, we see where they actually scolded Jesus. "Well, if you would have gotten here sooner, our brother would not have had to die." Now, let's be fair about it. We would be upset too. If we believed that someone could heal us or deliver us or give us a miracle, but they didn't. Now let's go a step further. We have all been disappointed at one time or the other with God. And guess what? That's okay. He can take it. He's a big God. Upset that he didn't come through when and how we wanted him to do. Now follow me. If all Jesus was after to perform was to perform a miracle and raise Lazarus from the dead, he would have just said, "Take me to the grave," and he would have raised Lazarus from the grave. But he didn't do that. Now, I know this concept I'm going to share with you is going to be a little hard to swallow. It has been for me more than once. But we have to get this revelation in our spirits. God loves us unconditionally. He loves us dearly. But his ultimate reason for everything he does is for his glory. Absolutely everything is that he will be glorified. That means when he does it. That means how he does it. That means where he does it. And who he does it with. Or if he doesn't do it at all. Everything is determined and decided by the degree of glory that it will bring to him. Lazarus is now dead, but Jesus starts speaking to them about their faith. He says to Mary and Martha, "If you believe, you will see." Well, why is he speaking this way? Doesn't he know that it's over? The reason Jesus speaks to them about their faith is that they need a resurrection of their own faith. The first resurrection that day was to be the faith of Mary and Martha. And you may be sitting here today in the same place where Mary and Martha was at. You're looking at a stone that is saying the end. It's hopeless. It's over. It could be your marriage. Your marriage may be hanging by a thread, headed for the rocks. There might not be one spark left, and everything you're feeling or not feeling is telling you that it's over. Or maybe it's a relationship between you and your children or your siblings. It could be a physical situation where it seems like sickness and disease is now ruling the day. And everything is saying, give up, give in. That's what they're saying. So just pull the plug. It's over. End of story. Or it could be a financial struggle where you feel like you're sunk. You can't see any way out of the hole that you're in. Or it could be that something happened that set you back and you feel like it's over. And the devil is telling you it's over, and he does a good job of that. Maybe you did blow it. Maybe you slipped and you fell in your spiritual walk. And then let's get where the rubber meets the road. Maybe you just jumped right into it. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning and remind you there is forgiveness. If you'll confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The Bible says, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Or maybe you didn't slip at all. Maybe it's just jealousy and envy or criticism then of other people that has taken a hold on you. And you're feeling like it's over. You got hit hard. You got hit hurt. You got hurt. And you're thinking, what's the use anyway? And you're thinking it's over. And let's be honest, we've all been there. Some are possibly there right now. And I know this is what the devil is trying to accomplish right now in people's lives and in this country. He's trying to paint a picture of hopelessness and corruption and despair all over the world, in fact, but especially our nation, and make things look so bad that you will roll the stone over the door and you will put a plug in your faith. That's what he wants. Understand, the devil loves to see, again, people feeling desperate. He loves for them to feel hopeless. And he thrives on our pain and our anger and our frustration and our resentment. And if we can be angry at God, guess what? The more, the merrier for him. Now, there's an old TV show that I believe still comes on somewhere. It was called Emergency. Anybody ever remember that one? Many times they will treat a patient who goes into cardiac arrest, but they don't say, oh, that's just too bad, we lost another one. No, in fact, they get the electric paddles out and they shock that heart to get it beating again. Now, it's not always successful, but many times it is. In other words, many patients live because the paramedics did not quit. Thank you, Jesus. They don't look at the evidence on the screen and call it done. Even though they see the flat line, they keep working on that patient. And then all of a sudden, the flat line jumps. And guess what? Then something happens. And they call it, Brother Gary, conversion. They say, we have conversion. Can I just tell you that that can be seen as an amazing encouragement? You may have been praying for your spouse. You may have been praying for your children for years, and all you see is a flat line, no response. And the devil wants you to call it done and say it's over. And so just roll the stone over the door. But you need to get those Holy Ghost paddles out and keep on praying. Don't be deceived by the devil telling you it's over, because it could just be one more Holy Ghost shock and we would have conversion. I'll admit I've given up on some people, but God hasn't. Thank you, Jesus. Conversion means the process of changing or causing something to change from one form to the other. Let me give you some examples. How about from sickness to health? From sorrow to joy? From anxiety to peace? Put them paddles on. From stress to rest? From loss to found? From bound to free? From fretful to faithful? From fearful to courageous? From discouraged to happy? From depressed to blessed? And I feel like the Holy Ghost is telling me to tell somebody, you're on the verge of conversion now. Would you just tell your neighbor, I believe you're on the verge of a conversion. I believe you're on the edge of a breakthrough. Now, do something else with me. Go ahead and you point to somebody across the aisle or in front of you or behind you, and you lock your eyes on them. Do this. Find somebody. You tell them you're on the brink of a miracle. It's not time to give up. It's not time to give up. Woo, Dennis, it's not time to give up, brother. Can I just encourage you and tell you, it's also not time to turn the switch of faith off. I just happen to believe you're getting ready to see something that looked impossible become possible. You're getting ready to see something that is going to be amazing to everyone involved. And I'll just go ahead and step out and tell you, God is getting ready to show up. Don't put those shock paddles away just yet. Don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. In fact, turn up the voltage, because some situations are really stubborn. And they require a little more voltage. Ask Sister Jean. Physically, they turn that voltage up. And let's be honest about it. I had this marked off. I marked it off, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. some people are a little more stubborn and need a little more voltage. How's that? I'm not naming names. The point that I want to make this morning is this. No matter what it looks like or feels like, don't give the devil any pleasure. Don't you give him an ounce of attention. You keep praising God. Would you just say this after me? I don't believe it's over. And I refuse to submit to fear and doubt and discouragement and depression. I refuse to become angry and critical and resentment at God. I refuse to give the devil one crumb to rejoice over. My hope is in God. Amen. Amen. Say this, for my family, for my healing, for my deliverance, for my breakthrough, for our miracle. Amen. Amen. Finally, there is a spark, and faith comes back alive in Mary and Martha. And they say, well, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And that was what Jesus needed to hear, because faith is the determining factor for everything that happens. And so Jesus comes and he instructs them to take away the stone. And sadly, we see yet where Mary and Martha's faith begins to waver. But Lord, he's been dead 4 days. By now, he stinks. This is like saying, okay, Lord, we got it. We believe you can do this, but to tell the truth, we've kind of moved on. We're going to do what we think is best. We don't really want to stir things up again. But Jesus jolts them back to their faith confession. John 11:40. Did I not say that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? What Jesus is saying here, I'm not afraid of the stink. I can handle no matter how bad it is. Now, how many would be honest with me this morning to say that you're glad that Jesus did not let the stink stop him?
Amen.
Jesus cries out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. I don't know what Lazarus means to you today. It could be a relationship, again, that looks and feels like it has died. It could be your hopes, your dreams for the future that you desired and planned for. It could be your walk with God. You may be so far away from God that you don't even feel his presence anymore. The list could go on and on, and I really don't know what Lazarus means to you. But what I see in this story is this. There is a situation that is screaming hopelessness. But Jesus is saying, don't say it's over. Don't say it's over. Don't say it's over. Well, I don't believe it's over, and I'm going to say it again. I don't believe it's over. There are some situations, yes, that look hopeless. And the devil is pushing hard to get you to say it's over and roll the stone across the door and post a no trespassing sign. But I hear God saying, if you will believe, if you will agree with me that it's not over, you will see the glory of God. You need to know that this miracle is much bigger than you or me. Now look at these verses with me. This is from John chapter 12, the very next chapter, in those first two verses. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now down to verse 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews, it was his fault, that many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Amen. Now here's what I see. God is setting the stage. Whew, goodness. God is setting the stage for something, Brandon, that will be indisputable and undeniable. Are you listening to me? Many that would not listen to your words will not be able to defy or dispute the miracle that God is doing in you and through you. Many came to see not just Jesus, but also Lazarus, the miracle man, the one who was dead for 4 days and was raised from the dead. And the Bible says they left believing. Why would you say this with, I just don't believe. I just don't believe. Why would you say that? Ruth, would you come? Psalms 126, verses 1, 2, and 3. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. I love these verses. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. I believe God is going to do something in your life that is so unbelievably magnificent that you're going to say, somebody pinch me. Somebody pinch me. I think I'm dreaming. This is just too good to be true. Can I just tell you, no, it's not too good to be true. Because guess what? We serve a very big God. He's not just the God of enough. He's the God of more than enough. He's El Shaddai, the God Almighty. And that alone tells us that God has absolute power over sickness and over death and over sin and over Satan and all demonic power and influence. There's no one greater or more powerful than El Shaddai, our God, the Lord God Almighty. And guess what? As a child of God and a born-again believer, He lives in us. And He's chosen to work through us now on this earth. I've seen it in my own life. I'm a living testimony and an eyewitness of His power. And I'm here to tell you, He's no respecter of persons. What He does for one, He'll do for another. Just know it's not over till God says it's over. And He does everything right, and He finishes what He started. He's an on-time God. And this story then reminds us that God can do anything. It reminds us that God even works sometimes the best in the dark, where we cannot see Him working. That means He wants you to just trust Him. God, I can't see you. I need to see what you're doing right now. I can't see you. Just trust me. Just trust me. I'm already working. I'm already in your tomorrows. I've already gone before you. I've got it all set up for you. It shows us that man's impossibilities really are God's opportunities. Oh, I hope you're hearing me today. It teaches us that God is not glorified by one sin, nor any sickness or disease, but He's glorified by our deliverance and by our healing and our salvation. That means He's going to take care of it and how He chooses for it to happen. I know it's hard to keep marching when there's no visible evidence of change. I know it's hard to even keep tithing and sowing your seed when you're in a financial famine. I know it's hard to praise God for healing when your body is racked or wrecked with pain. And I know it's hard to stay positive when everything you see and hear is negative. I know it's hard to believe for the rain when you've been in a long drought season. And right now you may be standing in the middle of the desert. And you may be staring at nothing but sand. Or you may be standing in the middle of the valley of dry bones that the prophet Ezekiel wrote about, with nothing but death and desolation and emptiness and confusion all around you. But let me remind you that it was into Ezekiel's boneyard that the wind of God, Sister Jean, began to blow. Can I give you a word picture? That's not very loud. The wind of God began to blow, Brandon, and put back together everything that had been stolen, everything that had been broken. What is that? The ankle bone connected to the thigh bone. Or the one of them bones. That's it. From the toe to the foot to the ankle. And then He raised up a mighty army. Let me just ask, what are you needing in your life today? Don't stop asking. Don't stop praising. Don't put the paddles away. Don't stop believing, because it's not over. Something good is on the way. Let's all stand together. Handora basata bashata. Landora basata bakashata. Londora basata bashata. Hallelujah. Harabasata basata. Londora basata. Now, Garen, Jennifer, I know our focus is on you, but that's in your family, but that's okay. We are walking with you through this. Would you just, all of your family, come right here? And then let's have our church family come gather around them. And it doesn't matter if we have to do this every Sunday. Did y'all know that? And I'll tell you again, if you've not walked in their shoes, you have no clue what they're dealing with. I know every one of us. All right, now let's gather around about them. Come on, everybody. And some of you may have some things you're dealing with. Oh my gosh, we're going to see miracle after miracle. Because God is going to get glory, Garen. He's going to get glory. He's already, y'all are a walking testimony. People are already seeing how you're reacting. Jennifer, they're already questioning, how can you stay so strong and have such faith? Oh my gosh. We're closing the door to the enemy in our lives. I want to make sure I don't let doubt come in. I'm not giving up, y'all. I'm not giving up. I tell my puppy dog sometimes, you need saving. Y'all need saving. Especially when they're disobedient. I said, I've got the right thing. I put a shock collar on them. I got them the shock paddles, y'all. All I got to do is mash that buzzer. They come alive, I tell you. Asher's way in the backfield. Here he comes. Tail tucked under. He knows. I can't wait to see what God's going to do, y'all. I'm telling you, every one of us have things in our lives. Some of us walked through this. We've all, many of us, been touched by the loss of a loved one. And so we know that kind of pain. Oh, Handora Bashata. Lord, once again, Lord, we're standing. We're standing. We're standing with our family, our church family, with the North family, and all of those going through things. Those are watching online. And so, Lord, we want to acknowledge you again today and tell you that our faith is going to stay strong. It doesn't matter the winds that blow, that your wind is going to overpower every other wind. And that because when your wind blows, the ship's going to move to the other side. The storm that you're carrying, that we're going through, you're carrying us, and you're going to carry us to the other side. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you in this situation. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know you're faithful, and you're going to show your glory in this. And so, Lord, we just give you praise today. I thank you today. I thank you for this church family. Lord, I ask you to just continue to lead us, direct our steps, God. I don't know what the rest of the year will hold. For the world, it's going to be bad. But for us, we're going to thrive. And so, Lord, I thank you for your protecting hand. We declare Psalm 91 over us. Lord, we plead your blood over us. We thank you for that hedge of protection round about us. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can go from this house today in victory. Victory in our mind. Victory in our spirit. And know that everything's going to be okay. Why? Because you've got us in your hand. And the enemy cannot snatch us out of your hand. Harabasata bashata. I praise you today. I give you the glory today. Let's worship the Lord with a hand clap today. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. If you found you're weak in your faith, ask the Lord to strengthen it. Lord, I don't want to be weak in my faith. I don't want to be doubt. Go ahead, Sister Jean, what you got? Hallelujah.